And particularly the adults might like to take the Bible from in front of you. Some of you children might like to as well. And turn back to page 566 in the Old Testament section. Page 566. Back to Psalm 104. And I'm particularly going to explain three verses to us. Verses 28, 29, and 30. Let me read verse 28 to 30. It says this, "When you, God, give food to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good food. When you turn away from them, they become frightened. When you take away their breath, they die and turn into dust. When you breathe on them, they are created. You make the land new again." Well, what I'd like you to do right at the beginning is to take the notepad, which is in the seat pocket in front of you, and you'll need a pencil as well. And you can work in pairs if you would like, particularly you adults who will struggle with it otherwise. And what I'm going to do is give you 60 seconds, no more, 60 seconds, to write down as many animals as you can think of. 60 seconds, and you can go when I say so. As many animals as you can think of, starting now. You should have had 5 to 10 by now. Got about 10 seconds left. Okay, stop writing. Now, I wonder how many you've got. Add them all up. See how many you've got. I think you might want to go back a slide. Now, hands up if you think you've got more than 5 animals. I think that's pretty much everyone. Keep your hand up if you've got more than 10. More than 15. 20. 25. 30. 35. This is awesome. Between 30 and 35 animals. Very well done indeed if you've got that many. Now, I want you to imagine that it's your job to keep all of those animals alive and going. I wonder if any of you have had to look after the school hamster, or we'll see that on the next slide, or if you've had to look after the school goldfish, and you've struggled to keep even those things alive. Maybe they've even died when you've had them. But imagine you had to keep all of the animals in the farm and the zoo, and all of the animals outside of the farm and the zoo alive. How could you possibly do that? You need to give them water, you need to give them food, you need to muck them out, and you need to give them air as well. It's pretty hard for us to keep every animal alive. In fact, it's absolutely impossible. Sometimes we sing, "Only God can do that. Only God can do that." And that's the first thing we're going to be learning from this passage, is that God keeps all things going. And it's there in verse 28. "When you give food to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good food. I wonder how many of you have chickens. Any of you have chickens? I know some of you do. Yep, quite a few. Well, it's a little bit like we are chickens. Not very flattering, but it's a good analogy. And the idea is that God feeds us, he opens his hand, and we gather it up. So God gives us everything that we need. He gives us food and water. He also gives us housing, a place to live. And not just for us, but also for the stork and all other kinds of creatures. The stork's mentioned in verse 17. God cares for all kinds of creatures, not just humans. He loves the wild donkey and he cares for the donkey. He loves the mountain goat and he cares for the mountain goat. We couldn't possibly keep the mountain goat going. He even cares for things called, well, it says badgers in verse 18, but really they're called hyraxes. Looks very cute, doesn't it? Well, God builds them a nice home up in the mountains, so they're protected by the rocks. But you wouldn't want one of those as a pet, as the next slide will show us. God cares about all creatures and looks after them. He gives us everything we need and everything that we can enjoy. He gives us wine and oil and bread. In fact, the whole world is like a giant playground. Don't know if you've ever thought about that before. So, Leviathan, that's a strange word in verse 26, basically stands for the whales in the ocean. God created the ocean so that the whales could play around in it. And he's created all sorts of other things so that we can enjoy, like the snow, so that we can ski on it. God is extraordinarily creative and keeps everything going. Did you know, every single day, 50 new species of animal are discovered, and God keeps them all going. We're still finding new medicines as we look at the different plants and herbs that he's created. Isn't God good and generous, and isn't he great keeping it all going? So he opens his hand and gives to us, but we must gather. Again, we're like the chickens, aren't we? Or we're like the fish that jump up to catch the flies, or the swallows or the gannets which dive down to get their food. Or we're like the lion who goes on a hunt. We have to work for the food that God provides. And the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be lazy, that we should get a job if we possibly can, and we should pay to feed ourselves. God also provides the time for us to actually get our food. Now, lots of animals like to go out at dark when the moon is out. And we want to go back probably a little bit to the moon with the lion on, because the lion comes out at night. And what do you think the lion is doing there? Anyone? You think he's doing what? Yeah, he's attacking, he's roaring there. What he's actually doing, though, as well as roaring, why would you roar before you're about to go onto a hunt? Because you'd scare all of the animals away, all of your prey. Well, actually, verse 21 tells us that the lion is praying to God. He's asking God to give him his prey. He's praying for his prey, according to verse 21. And then after the lion has got his food and goes to sleep, the sun comes up. Now, the sun draws the curtains for us at night when we go to bed, but it also is like an alarm clock. It wakes us up in the morning so that we can go out and work. And because God, therefore, creates the light and the dark, we don't need to be afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. whether that's the physical darkness or sometimes dark things that come into our lives. God keeps them all going, so we're not afraid. Isn't God generous? And doesn't God keep all things going? Well, secondly, God not only keeps all things going, he makes all things stop. He makes all things stop. Have a look at verse 29. When you turn away from them, they become frightened. When you take away their breath, they die and turn to dust. I'd like everybody to stand up. And we're going to do some singing, so I want us to take an opera pose. Like this. Everyone do an opera pose. A bit more enthusiasm, please. And the idea is we're going to take, in a moment, we're going to take a big, deep breath. And then we're going to sing out a note and keep it going as long as we possibly can. So if you're a man, it might be more like a la. Or if you're a woman, it might be a bit higher. La. Whichever one suits you, okay? And you've got to keep it going as long as you possibly can. You've got to sustain it. So I'll count down from three, and then we'll see how we go. When you stop, you need to sit down and die. 3, 2, 1. La. Lots of people still going. Awesome. Still going. The professionals still standing up over there. Well, fantastic. Some of you definitely ought to turn professional. Now, it's as if our life is that note that we were singing out. And Jesus, who is before all things and keeps all things together, keeps us going. And if Jesus was to stop breathing, we also would stop. But he won't stop breathing in the short term. So why do we die? Well, the answer is because God is not pleased with us. You see, we're not to think that we're better than the people in Indonesia or Samoa or Tonga. No, we're not. And we know that because one day God will take our breath away, and not in a romantic way either. But if we follow Jesus Christ, we're not scared about that, because we know that God our Father loves us more than he loves even the sparrows in the sky. So we're not scared of death. Well, that's 2 points. God keeps all things going. Secondly, God makes all things stop. And thirdly, God makes all things go again. That's verse 30. When you breathe on them, they are created. You make the land new again. Well, unfortunately, summer's over, we're heading into autumn, and soon it will be winter. And I've got a picture of a winter tree on the left up there. And when winter comes along, it's as if everything goes into a really, really deep sleep. But winter doesn't last forever. Spring comes along and shouts in the ear of winter, and everything comes back to life again, like the cherry blossom that I've pictured there. It's just wonderful. Winter's like a picture for us, a picture of the fact that all of us decay and die. We go into a deep sleep. But one day, Jesus will come along and breathe new life into us, and we will live again. Now, I've got a video clip to show you, just a short one here, and it's from a film which many of you would have seen called The Lion, the Witch, and the wardrobe, when the whole of the creation goes into winter, even all of the creatures. And then Jesus comes along and he's pictured as a lion, Aslan, and he brings new life. So let's take a look at that video if we can.
Come. We must hurry and search the castle. Peter will need everyone we can find.
Sorry not to show you all of it. You can borrow it off me if you like. I think that's legal, I'm not sure. One day, perhaps long after we've died, Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's going to breathe new life into everyone. And we will join a song of praise to Jesus. Now, it's not everybody who's going to want to join that song of praise. Some people like to praise the creation, so they might go on to Ashdown Forest and say, "What a wonderful creation." Or they look at all of the different species in creation and say, "What a wonderful creation." We've got an example of that. And they say, "Isn't it amazing?" But they refuse to worship and honor the Creator. They don't want to join in the song. And verse 35 tells us that they will be swept away. And then the whole of the world will be completely renewed and made new again. Now, how do we apply that to ourselves? What does it mean for us? Well, it means this, I think. If someone says to us, "Isn't it a great day? I can see the sun. Isn't the creation amazing?" We need to say yes, because that's because the God who made it is amazing, more amazing. If somebody dies tragically and we're sad about it, we shouldn't be scared, because we know that one day Jesus will wake us up if we're trusting in him. And when we hear the birds singing in the trees, we can imagine that day when we will be before Jesus and we will be singing his praises. So how are we to respond to the fact that God keeps all things going, makes all things stop, and makes all things go again? Well, the beginning and the end of the psalm tell us, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.